We begin in the name of the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Son, and the immanent Holy Spirit. Amen. And tonight we'll begin with our gospel reading from the liturgical text for today. And we'll listen to it three times and then have the opportunity to talk about impressions that it's made on us and work ideas that we find within it. Then we'll talk about our exercise for the week before we do our commentary. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew from chapter 6. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." Jesus said to his disciples, in praying, do not be like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. The Gospel of the Lord. So what did we hear in that reading tonight? Yes, Keith, thank you. Work ideas, impressions, what did you hear?
I heard higher and lower. Specifically that violence begets violence and that love begets love and that we have choice.
Yeah.
But they both exist simultaneously. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Awesome. Alan.
You said impressions. I had the feeling of the release of pressure
mm-hmm.
that I feel from first force, second force. I suppose one of the big reasons why I'm here is I'd like to be able to see with Christ consciousness or whatever, you know, dualistic mind, etc., which is tantamount to being, you could say it's like enlightenment, so there's a wish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that wish, whatever it is, there's a second force that says, okay, it's about me, it's for me then. So there's this tension and this pressure there. If you could change the prayer, the wish to thy kingdom come, thy will be done, then I look at that, and I just felt this immediate release of the first force, second force pressure because it wasn't up to me.
Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm.
So it was weird. It was just a feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. That's you make a good point because there's a different relationship with the work, too. When you begin the work from working for the sake of the work, from the third place of the work, before working with others and working for yourself, which is pretty much what you just said. Yeah. Thank you, Alan. Rusty?
I guess I heard our Father and not my Father. Mm. And it just brought up the second line. It's the community effort that we do together.
Mm-hmm.
Just a sense of community, and it's not just this one person trying to muscle your way through, but it's an hour versus a my.
Yeah, thank you. Our Father. It's a really convenient scripture, too, when we've been talking about the great ray of creation, huh? Yeah. What is this heaven? Is this a walking prayer? Is that a way to conduct ourselves through life? Or is it something that we do motionless in a church or in a special room? Goodness, not behind the wheel of a car, in a grocery store, behind a desk. Yes.
Yeah. I heard a repetition of the two previous lessons. In this lesson, Jesus is telling us how to pray, and the one thing that we are supposed to do is to forgive others. Yeah. That's the one thing that in the prayer, that everything else we are asking God to do for us. Mm-hmm. In the previous lesson, Jesus was telling the scribe the commandment that was overall, love the Lord, love thy neighbor as thyself. So it's again a theme, forgiveness, love. And then the previous lesson, and I think it was Jesus as well saying, you must reconcile with your neighbor mm-hmm. before your gifts can be accepted. Mm-hmm. I think there's a theme in that our work is to love yeah. our neighbor, mm-hmm. to love everybody, and that's the only way that we'll be able to love the Lord.
Thank you. Yeah, consciously chosen love. Right behind you, Greta, thank you.
I heard what Phyllis heard too. And I have a right not to be negative came up. If we harden our hearts to other people, if we refuse to forgive them, we don't make ourselves vulnerable to the rays of love that God shines down on us and in us and through us and imminent to us and within us and transcendental to us in every moment. We cut ourselves off, and by cutting ourselves off, how can God forgive us?
Thank you. It's a powerful reading. Yes, Jill.
I felt it as a respiration, the Our Father who art in heaven, looking up, and hallowed be thy name, and then thy kingdom come, inhaling, thy will be done on earth yeah. as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread, and took the daily bread as my work opportunities every day, the food of impressions that I can take in mm-hmm. and digest.
So. Nice. That's a good feeling, descending the octave, ascending the octave, just keep moving back and forth. That's a beautiful way to see it, as a respiration. Nice. David.
I heard at the beginning about just using words and just thought of mechanical talking. You know, how many times over the years I've said that prayer with no meaning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, went to confession, say 10 Hail Marys and Our Father, you know, and have it just be words, mechanical talking, no mm-hmm. consciousness behind it.
Yeah.
And then forgiving others' debts, so my debts are forgiven. I see that in a large way for me as external considering. If I can begin to see the person, put myself in their place, accept that they could do things that may not be the most appropriate thing, and realize it's in me.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very good. I was struck by thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and the vitality of doing God's will constantly, self-remembering constantly. That is practicing self-remembering constantly, right? Yeah. Anybody else? Well, thank you for finding the richness in this. Now, let's transition now, holding this scripture, go into our exercise for the week, of finding our place in relationship to some of the notes in the octave. What does it feel like to be the moon, sun, planets? What was our experience of that during the week? Or any other work experiences you had during the week? This is tough, isn't it? Remember we started out reading in the Law of Seven? In the first reading it said we have very little force for thinking the cosmology, defining ourselves in this. This is a different way of thinking. This is definitely thinking in a new way. Rebecca, thank you.
The moon eats me for breakfast. I just spend so much time in the moon. And we were, my work partner and I were talking about how we can feel, how we can expand, how we can move up the ray. And I was at Bernadette's, you know, at the class for Bernadette last night, and I thought, you know, that is why I participate in the activities that I do at the church, because it is so difficult for me to get out of my complete involvement with the details of being in this world, doing my little W work, everything, all my stuff. And it's like centering prayer, talking to my work partner, coming to this class, going to services. It's like these are the things I need to move me up and expand, remember the cosmology. And in the last couple of weeks, I was at a dinner party with people completely unrelated to the church or anything like that. And at some point after dinner, we were sitting on their back deck, and a couple of them started talking. We were looking at the sky, and a couple of them started talking about how they can picture themselves, like they'll put themselves out there and as one corner of a triangle, you know, triangulating to the moon and to the... And I was like, thank you. You know, I mean, to just have that reminder come from out in the world, you know, it's all I can do is stay open to the reminders that that come to me even unexpectedly.
Yeah.
That's what's been going on for
Beautiful.
Me.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice, thank you. Anna.
As like Rebecca, the moon ate me this week as well. And it was started out with the flu bug of some kind in my stomach and having to run to the toilet every minute, it seems like. And in between, there's severe abdominal cramping that I feel like I was going to fall into my knees, and I felt it in my body. And I remember reading something in the work that says that only when a man is ill does he come to understanding. Well, it wasn't there. I was feeling the body, and I couldn't understand why. I couldn't get above my body. But I decided, well, I'm going to go to work. And as I go to work and I see people who are truly ill, and I take myself out of my smallness, and then I see people in grasping for life, and I see me grasping at life. And I wish to send it to a higher place, but somehow it just every abdominal cramping pulls me right back to my body again. And then today, you know, as I was feeling well, I decided to go out jogging. and I was so slow. I'm sure people walked faster than I could run. And as I went up the hill and felt every muscle and wanted to give up, I heard a voice, and it said, "Why are you feeling this body? It's only a loner." And something inside of me, I thought, where did that voice come from? Something inside of me is trying to teach me something. And then there's focus. And then there was, I looked down at my feet. There was a meditative beat to my run. And I didn't give up. And as I looked at the my repetitive of my feet, I started to pull away and have that little bit of separation where I could see, yes, all this is a loner. I feel the heat of the sun, and I realize I'm not this body. I'm part of this body, but then I'm something higher. And that was a lovely gift this morning. I don't know who said that, but thank you.
Nice. Thank you. Maybe it is true. It does take a little sickness to understand. Other experiences from the week. Lori.
I've been pondering ever since the two classes ago when I observed that Nichols said that there are two laws. And that's it. There's no use asking why. That's just the way it is. Which is basically what the gospel said that night. And this is just my own wondering. Just wondering, okay, I wonder what if there is a relationship between those. I played with the idea, I've been playing with the idea that love your neighbor as yourself has something to do with the law of seven. And love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your spirit has something to do with the law of three. Just playing with it, mm-hmm. Just putting it on. And what I could see was that, and the other thing that he said was that both of these laws pointed to or indicated one law. That we could not, as human beings, we could not fathom the absolute. Mm. And that night we had a discussion of, there were people that shared about the gospel that said those two laws all also were basically one law, which was love. And so one of the things that I've seen is this, it's just been this recontextualization of my difficulties, mm-hmm. And Dr. Nichol even talks about difficulties in the ray as being the narrow spot. He uses the word difficulties. And so these difficulties are lawful. They're absolutely built in to the system. And they always look like that person usually has to do with a person, mm-hmm. or a situation, but the situation usually has to do with a person. So it just got more and more like there was this lightening of it around around my difficulties, to think of it in terms of, okay, the law of seven is the law of creation in time, the law of order of creation. So the journey toward loving God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind has to do with loving my neighbor as myself. And each difficulty is an opportunity for a shock. Mm-hmm. In other words, these things are connected. I'm not really, it's just become this beautiful connection that I had never seen before in that. And
I'm still in that, you know, but it is just the fact that it's lawful and that we have work tools to bring in the shock, mm-hmm. to ask for help, mm-hmm. To use work ideas, to transform impressions at these places of difficulty. And it always works. I don't know what it's going to look like. That's the thing. The head wants to know, well, you know, plan it all out and what's it going to look like and what the ideal would be. I think there's a loosening around that too.
Yeah.
Around my expectations of what the, as Rusty always talks about, because from the Trinity and the Law of Three book, you know, the new surprising graceful outcome will be, mm-hmm. in each and every moment. So it's I like putting that map on my own being.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate all that you just said in that, because we're going to be working with that. It was introduced last week, but we're going to be working a little bit further on the idea tonight of serving the moon, but the idea that man is a self-developing organism. And, you know, we've got this, you remember that old Uncle Sam picture where he's pointing, he says, I want you. And we just put the sun there in that place. The sun wants you. What sun? All of them. Yeah. The sun wants us. I appreciate that. I felt the sun, you know, when you ascending towards it as you were describing the lightness that came from that. What else? Yes, Leslie?
I'm not sure how these three things fit together, but I ended my school year with just real difficulty with the students, and I think it was combined with moving in the monsoon rains into the mud land where we live. I was kind of at the end of my being, but ended the year just not knowing how I could go back there to that school and teach, and just feeling just full of anger. And I've shared about that anger before in terms of other relationships, so I know it's not the people at the school or the children, but it's been I've been in a lot of judgment about it and shame and just, yeah, not knowing what to do. One fellow work student was reminding me of the Hawkins book and just, you know, let this get all over me and just feel it. And so I've been doing that. I appreciate that and that it's not I. Mm-hmm. And part of what I noticed is that by the end of the year, I felt like a person that the kids did not like me as a teacher and the other teachers did not like, that nobody liked at my school. And that, for this nine, is just devastating because it's almost like the huge core shell around me has been, I'm so nice and so sweet and everybody likes me. And to see that just absolutely not true. And it's like for weeks I've been just feeling that and going, just feeling kind of devastated by it. And yet, you know, I'm starting to breathe through it and it's just a relief. But I don't know what else is in there under that. Mm-hmm. That's been so huge. And I guess I'm just sharing it. Yeah. I see it as a complete lie or a complete buffer that's gone. And I'm in summertime, you know, I'm just spending a lot of quiet time. Mm-hmm. But then the last thing was, I was talking to a really good friend yesterday about the about what was going on at the end of school and stuff. And I said at one point, you know, every day I go to school, I pray for energy from the Holy Spirit and for help and for guidance. And he said, no, there's probably enough energy going on in there that you can feed the Holy Spirit. And I went, whoa, that is the third line, isn't it? There's all this energy of all these children and all this, you know, learning and interaction and relationship. And if it begins to, you know, work with third force and I get my agenda out of the way, that's the third line. And I don't need to bring energy to it. I just need to be there in that energy and allow it. And that was just astounding to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. You choose, right? You choose what the third force is going to be.
Or not. I mean, one thing I noticed is all the things I love about the school and the children and my job, but then my agenda starts charging on and taking first priority the results that I want. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the results of the art they do, it's the results of they listen to me or whatever. That agenda takes it just takes too big of a priority to where there's this anger that it's just not going to, it's not happening that way. So I guess you're saying I choose the third force. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks.
Leslie, thank you for anchoring that outside. You get a little more distance on it. It gives us another experience of, you know, this is not I, this is just an energy. And this is the energy, that's the taste of it, the thoughts of it, the physical sensation. It's just an energy. It's not I. Well, if it's not I, then what am I? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the truth? What is the third force? You choose. Choose royally. And remember, Scripture, your Father knows. Your Father knows before you ask. Thank you. There's Dan?
Hello. I want to speak a little bit about the same subject. I could observe the choices on third force around my foot and the way that it was framed. And this really came into my consciousness last night. I'll put in a little plug here for Second Line. Some Second Line folks met with me last night, and I came into the room really charged, feeding the moon. I was kind of surprised later on when I reflected on it, the amount of energy and anger that I was generating. At any rate, without going into that too much, I felt into that. I felt into the life thing of, well, you know, the dadgum shot didn't work, and the blah, 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 you know, just that kind of thing, and that fed the moon as well. So the life and moon energies, you know, one was kind of really bottom rung energy, and then the other's kind of a little bit higher but still below 200, you know, that kind of thing. And then because of how we framed it in Second Line, I could really see bringing in sun energy and what that felt like and the expansiveness of that. And then in the end, serendipitously, both going to the class last night and then reading something right after that really opened it up to more Milky Way kind of energies where, it's inherent, the system of the laws is at work here, and all that I have to do, really, if I can choose to be in a place of choosing third force that is completely in wonder, gratitude. Even bigger than that, it was a huge wondering that opened up even more. I wonder what is going on feet, you know, seeing scripture where the words about feet and walking, and, you know, just all of a sudden I started going, oh. And then I started reading another thing in scripture that was in Corinthians talking about parts to the whole, you know, and it even mentions feet in there. And I think, oh gosh, well gosh, it's all under the authority of different things, and it's very systematic. So that was my experience around that one little thing. I really enjoyed this homework this week. I've tried to feel those different energies in a lot of different ways, and so I get a taste of it.
Yeah.
So I can recognize and make choices based on the flavor, the
right.
Nasty, tacky flavor of negativity and that kind of thing. So it was helpful that way.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Yeah, you can, I mean, it's the psychological experience of what we see on the outside is so true. Remember last week, Nick was talking about using the similarity where a man is as cunning as a fox. You know, we take these emotions and we can connect them with things on the outside in the material world. And it is really true. When I first started with the work, the idea of feeding the moon just seemed like, I don't know, it just felt kooky. Just kooky. Feeding the moon. It just, and as I continued to be with the work more and more and starting observing the dark side, the density, the certainty, the attitudes, the fixed ways of taking things, I started thinking, wow, this is really real. There's something to this experience that I'm having. And looking at a planetary body, thinking, I don't know why, but these feel alike. And then at another time, I've had the feeling throughout the week with things that are going on around and having earthly relationships with them psychologically, having moon relationships with them, ridding myself of the impressions that were earthly and going to planetary body as a mass, going planetary with them. And all of a sudden, some of the things that are happening don't seem quite as out of the ordinary or, how do I say, sensitive, serious, critical. And then going towards the sun. And there's something in feeling the sun. It's like, the closer I get to relating interiorly with the enormous burn of the sun, is that there's a lightness, physical lightness, you know, kind of like you're in the frying pan and the heat is releasing all of the fat. And for me, I can almost feel like the sun is burning away all of these lesser emotions that are not necessary in that moment. They can exist, but I choose. What will I choose? Have you had feelings like that? When you really, I mean, for me, when I came to Texas, one of the first things they said was drink a lot of water and stay out from the sun. And I'm thinking, hell no. One of those is pretty smart, but the other one, I moved here to be under the sun. You know, when you live in a climate that is overcast and dreary and blah, so many days of the year, being out under the sun is glorious. And then all of a sudden the work comes along, and then the work begins to refer to the sun and is a body of extraordinary influence that can shift us emotionally. And I began to see it as a solar pharmacy, so to speak. When I'm out in the sun, I'm feeling the rays of the sun right down through the skin, muscle tissue, to the blood. I'm taking that sun down into my body as deep as I can take it and relating to it. And it changes everything. That doesn't mean I'm walking around without sunscreen. Yeah, you know, but what that means is that, yeah, I really am feeling it. And there's times when you can feel the planetary bodies of the solar system. You know, when certain planets get closer, you know, now that you've read the theories of celestial influence, you can kind of get the feeling of when certain planets are coming near. You can look across this film on this planet and you can begin to say, wow, people are beginning to act in certain ways that are very unusual. Then the planet begins to retrograde, and what happens there? Well, interesting. And you begin to wonder, is there really something about this cosmology? Nah. Nah, this is just Eastern hokey stuff. Westerners don't believe in that. Or do they? Or is there something to it? You just wonder, you just kind of open up. But for me, it's very healthy to do that, and it changes my perspective during the week. And honestly, I didn't get past the sun. Yeah, I got involved in the sun, and I never got to the Milky Way. I just got to the sun. I'm satisfied with that for now. It was just a week. Look what it took for us to get to the moon. What else? Anybody else have anything for the week? Let's continue to work with that. Yes, Jill. As Jill's getting the microphone, let's continue to work with that. Work that. Is this emotional state that I'm going through right now, is this sun? Is this the mass of the planets? Is this Earth? Am I involved in earthly items? Is this moon? Is this just me? Is this all about me? Joe.
A couple of words that other people have said are wonder and certainty and lightness. And I really felt the lightness and heaviness of when I was at a higher level. And there was an incident that happened that took me to wonder and took me to joy and took me to such lightness. And it was such a little thing. I was taking Jeff's mom's dog up to see her, and she had a stroke, and she's in rehab. And the dog hit, she just transferred. She'd never been to this rehab. And we got there, and I took her out of her crate, and before I got her out, she just started getting so excited, and she doesn't usually do this, and she was just beside herself. And I got her out, and she took off straight for the building like she had knew where she was going, and she absolutely, it was like a magnet drawing her. And I just was like, oh my God, Holly, you know where you are. And she led me straight in there. Walked straight up to the thing. I signed us in. She turned the right way. She went, and she's usually scared of elevators. She hopped right on that elevator. We got off. She turned. She kept going all the right directions and almost picked the right room. And it just took me so, it expanded me to that place of, oh my God, there's so much we don't understand. There's connection that is palpable between this little dog and her mama. And there were many ideas that came to me about, we've done this before, but they were all big ideas.
Yeah.
And I was so elevated and so light. And it was like we floated in, and it just totally shifted everything. And I had another experience of heaviness, of really feeling old identifications trigger, and really struggling for a good 24 hours. It felt like really just having to feel them, and it felt like the weight of the moon, you know, was just it was just a complete opposite of that. So I really could feel the energetic differences and the lightness of being when you're at a higher level. And it's everywhere. It's not just me that is experiencing it. It's experienced in the atmosphere that we're in.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Yeah, we're really, as a community, we're in a really auspicious place. And especially so many faces I see in here tonight, I saw last night. And I'll bet so many of the same faces on Monday are going to start, will be reading, if you're not already, Dr. Hawkins' latest book. If you're not on board with that book, be sure to get on board with it, because you combine what we heard the first hour last night with the work ideas that we've been working with. And were you surprised last night to hear Bernadette say, man is a microcosm? Yeah. And in this field that you're talking about, in the lightness, we're going to find out so much about it. And it's going to be stripped of the Christian, how do I say it, the Christian, the dogma sometimes gets a, you know, is a word that we hear negatively, but we shouldn't do. But it's going to be stripped of the Christian dogma, but it's going to be talking about the spiritual powers that exist. And so you've got Hawkins in this extraordinary book who's talking about this field and how this field can be experienced in the material realm of the human body, and verifiable. Okay? So there's an intelligence that is streaming through each of us that knows truth. And it's measurable. And it doesn't have Christian names on it. Doesn't need them. We're synthesizers. We put them on there, just like we do with the Gospels. That's why we practice doing that, so that we can weave these ideas together. And then we hear Bernadette, and Bernadette is giving us this most unique 2,000-year-old treatise on the Trinity. And it's extraordinary. And then we've got things like what we're reading tonight, the Law of Three and the Law of Seven, and taking a scientific, well, somewhat scientific approach, and connecting all of these dots together. For those of us that are going to be participating in all three, Maha times. Yeah. Times of extraordinary growth. And is this important? Well, as we'll continue to read in Dr. Hawkins' book, it's extraordinarily important, because this consciousness that we hold, each of us individually, as we continue to vibrate at higher levels, the level that we hold across the planet exponentially grows from degree to degree. It's just not 1 plus 30 takes you to 31. It's exponential. It's huge. So we've got some really exciting times ahead of us here, and I felt so good for us last night when I saw how many of us are here on Thursday night, and how many of us are there last night, and how many of us are participating in the community reading, and how many of us are centering prayer practitioners, and on, making these things so important and so central in our life. And look what is happening to us because of it. You could hear it in the room tonight. Let's get our commentaries and go a little bit further into this. I was talking about the community reading, and I tell you truthfully, I don't know where we are in the community reading, or has it even started yet? Because I got the book and I can't stop reading it. I'm so far into it, I don't even know what our schedule is. It is extraordinary. So we're picking up on page 125, the Law of Seven, the sun octave. So today we'll speak of the small octave between the sun and the moon. This octave created by the intelligence of the sun. Did you notice he made that a pronoun? Or excuse me, a proper noun? The intelligence of the sun sounds three notes on the earth, la, sol, and fa, which represent the living machine called organic life on earth, of which man is a part. La, sol, fa, those three notes represent organic life on earth, the living machine. At the present, we'll not speak of the meaning of the different notes of this small octave. What must be first understood is that man does not appear in the great octave of creation, but in the little side octave proceeding from the sun. And in italics, he has, man is a special creation within the ray. When you read that, does that have any special meaning? I mean, does that emotionally strike you? If not, let's just take a moment. Man is a special creation within the ray. Any evidence of that? Any historical evidence that man is a special creation within the ray? Excuse me? We were visited, the Christ. How special. Let us now try to grasp why man appears and why the small octave is necessary. The reason why the intelligence of the sun creates this small octave is to fill the gap or place of missing semitone between fa and mi in the great ray due to the nature of the law of seven. Oh, I wanted to stop and tell you something too. When I first started learning music, I started learning chords, but I never learned theory at the beginning. I never knew what made up the chords. I knew what the G, D, E, except I knew the chords. I learned the chords, and I could start to take the chords and play songs. But I never knew that what the chords were made of. I didn't ever learn the theory. By not learning the theory, after I did learn the theory, I began to realize how much I wasn't hearing of the music because I didn't know the theory that made up the chords, the notes. So when I first started reading about these notes in the work, do, si, la, sol, fa, etc., I made it an aim that I was going to relate to those as the baseline and do it differently this time. I was going to learn the notes and see how the notes made up the chord, the music, in the work. And I'm so glad that I did. So, just a word of encouragement. When you come across these, mi, fa, and the si, do, and do, si, la, etc., when you come across those, it's not that we need to learn them in a way that we can repeat them, teach them, etc. But we would just want to be able to relate to them. Let them be present with us in a way that we're stretched to get them and in a way that they can inform us. Unless something were created at this point, the force passing down the ray from the absolute could not pass freely to the earth and the moon. A shock is necessary at this point, owing to the nature of the law of seven. Owing to the nature of the law of seven, it makes me remember what Lori had said about what we learned in previous classes, where he said, it just is. It just is. There's no sense in asking why it is. It is the nature of the law of seven. This law governs the order of creation and brings about conditions at certain points where something must be added in the nature of a shock. The law of seven is therefore sometimes referred to as the law of the shocks. Understand this clearly. Certain shocks are required at certain points in the unfolding or progress or evolution of anything. Have any of us learned a lesson as children playing with electricity? Ever been shocked? Anybody in here ever been shocked? Yeah. It really is very important with your unfolding, your progress, and your evolution, isn't it? To understand the value of a shock. It teaches you something. Do you remember the experience after being shocked? Oh, baby, were we alive or what? We were relating to life much differently at that moment. The intelligence of the earth or the planets is not great enough to create anything to act as a shock at this point. Interesting. The intelligence of the earth or the planets, when he says the planets, we're talking about the planet, the planetary systems, is not great enough to create anything to act as a shock at this point. The intelligence of the sun is needed. But the sun, in creating the small octave, has two objects which it is essential to grasp and distinguish very clearly. One object is to create a sensitive transmitting machine between the great notes of Fa and Mi in the great octave, to enable the force to pass to the earth and moon at the termination of the ray, that is, at the end of the ray. From this point of view, organic life, including man, exists for the purposes of the ray of creation, and its creation is due to the nature of the law of seven, which causes certain difficult or narrow places to appear in the order of creation. If this were the only object of man's situation, man's situation would be one in which, as a part of this transmitting machine, he must always serve the ray and its evolution, which takes place over immense periods of time. The other object is connected with the sun itself. In creating the small octave, the sun is not merely creating on behalf of the ray itself to fill a missing place, that narrow place in the octave, but is also acting for its sun itself. The sun wants something apart from the needs of the ray of creation. It is here that the possibilities of man are found. Let us now think of this idea, which is, it is of such fundamental importance to this work. The intelligence of the sun wants something for itself in creating man on earth. Again, in italics. The intelligence of the sun wants something for itself in creating man on earth, quite apart from the necessities of the great ray. What does it want? It wants man to ascend from the level of the earth to the level of the sun. Does that sound scriptural in any way? Does it sound scriptural? Do you think of any places in scripture where we're being told who we are, what we are, what our destiny is, what our birthplace is? For this reason, it creates man as something incomplete. as an unfinished being, in what sense incomplete? In regard to the being a part of organic life, serving the purposes of the ray of creation, man is complete, and there's nothing more required than the life that man ordinarily leads. Man is capable of living on earth as is. Man is then said in the work to serve nature. But in regard to man's real origin from the octave, from the sun, man has other destiny locked up. In regard to this destiny, man is unfinished, incomplete, because the intelligence of the sun has created for him for another reason, has created him for another reason, and has put in him, and has put in him, apart from what is necessary to serve nature, other powers and possibilities. That is, man has in him far more than is necessary for the purposes of serving nature. Now there's something to contemplate for a while, isn't it? When you read this, did you wonder, what is it? What is in me? It's far more than what is necessary for the purposes of serving nature. Anybody have any ideas? Pam.
That reminds me of the pearl, the treasure. Mm-hmm. It's within me that mm-hmm. I need to decide what I'm willing to pay. And then the previous question you had, it reminded me of the prodigal son, the returning to the father. That's yeah. one place that,
yeah.
that came to my mind.
Yes, good. Anybody else have anything of this? What is it in me? Angie.
The kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. The kingdom of heaven. We're told is where?
It's within us.
Yeah, within. So where is this within? Have we studied anything that helps to give us pointers as to where it is? I'm not quitting on you. Tracy.
Is it essence?
Why not? Is there more than that?
No.
Good. So where do we find it in our essence, Keith?
Before that, sure there's more than that. There's essence, and then there's the animal nature,
mm-hmm.
which is here to serve also. But
mm-hmm.
So it seems that essence, is in consciousness to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's weird, tricky, because the word consciousness is so misused outside of the work.
Yeah. And actually, essence is tricky too, because what we heard last night was an entirely different view of essence than how we use essence in the work. But let's go with essence. What is inside of us that we're born with? The kingdom of heaven is within. So we're on the line with consciousness, Stephen.
Well, with essence, we know that essence can be grown through our own efforts. Mm-hmm. So we're given the potential to increase. And there's a line from a commentary that I remember that says about this work that it gives us the opportunity to change our eternal essence out of time.
Mm-hmm. Very good. We're born with it. We're self-developing. We can grow with it. Rusty? You got an add-on?
I was thinking real eye and just that core connection with God.
Yeah.
And all the work required to strip away all the things that keep you out of contact and understanding of real eye.
Yeah. And so how do we experience real eye? What is its, what of its pathway within us? Keith? Let's remember what, and it's really important to have the definition of real eye in mind.
Well, that's where I was going, was
do it.
Feeling all together.
And
knowing all together.
That's right. Conscience and consciousness. Yes. And how do we experience those? I'll give you a clue. Thank you. Yes, we're going back to the centers again, aren't we? Yes. Through our centers. The centers getting more interior through attention. We make contact with the higher centers of which consciousness flows through. The divine download is pouring through. It's really important to remember where the work says that we've got far more inner senses than we do outer senses. We just have to develop them. So we've got something in us that makes us self-developing, that gives us the opportunity for that. Isn't that amazingly good word? Anybody else have anything? Yeah, Stephen.
Well, I had an equally strong wondering, and I have always had with this commentary, which is why does the Son want this? And that was peculiar to me, you know, that this model of the Son, and then the Son wants something, and why does it want it? And it seems that it is. I don't know. This is an idea, but that possibly it is a self-developing organism, and it needs our development for its own increase. So we're all being drawn up the ray.
Yeah.
And then the last couple of times in reading through these commentaries, I experienced a larger sense of scale, contemplating the absolute. And recognizing that we are visited, and that is, we have this Son who wants this from us. So that is a fact that I can accept.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never really thought about, like, but we are blessed by having this Son who does want something for us and created this path for us from the absolute.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
but you
really
know,
cool.
But there's a part of us though that we've got to get past. I am this body, in order to really relate to this, right? And if we're stuck identified to the body, this is very difficult ground to try to maneuver over. We have to recognize, again, why the idea of essence is so important, of consciousness is so important, of where Bernadette's going to talk about and where Dr. Hawkins are talking about where death really leads, what death truly is. It's not what common man thinks it is. This is really big stuff that we're approaching. Greta.
The Son seeks unification.
Unification.
And that unification is through refinement, the refinement of the coarser to the higher, the refinement of the humans and each planet and all of that in unification with the Sun, so that this secondary octave from the side of the great ray of creation can again be part of that great ray.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. When we begin to look at physics and begin to wonder about black holes and how black holes have got something they want, and they continue to draw it in, don't they? We're a microcosm. We are extraordinary microcosm. Let's pick these things out a little further. Let's pick them apart. Let's get right down into what he's talking with here. So in italics, he's telling you this is really important, that man has in him far more than is necessary for the purposes of serving nature. But in speaking of nature, here is what is meant, is all life on earth, all that we see around us on earth, the life of the plants, animals, trees, fishes, and also is the life of mankind, with all its struggles, all the killing, pain, birth, death, which all together make up this perpetual motion machine called organic life, created by the sun to transmit influences from the upper to the lower part of the ray of creation. In regard to the second object of the sun, man is created on the earth as incomplete in order that he may be developed up to the level of being represented by the sun. It is in this sense that man is said in the work to be a self-developing organism. Thus man, as an experiment of the sun placed on earth. Thus man is thus an experiment of the sun placed on earth. He can remain asleep and serve organic life, or he can waken and serve the sun. If he had been created with the same being and intelligence of the sun, he would not be on earth. Man has therefore two explanations. He is created to serve nature, that is, to be part of organic life, and in this sense, it is not in the interest of nature. This is interesting. It's not in the interest of nature that man should develop and so cease to serve nature. But man is also created to develop himself until he reaches the level of the sun. Now, if you will make the effort to think, if you will really try to understand the meaning of the ray of creation and the octave from the sun, many inexplicable and apparently reconcilable things will become clear to your mind. That is, you will be able to begin to think rightly about life on earth and of man's situation. That is, of your own situation. Speaking in an external way about the ray of creation, it's quite obvious that the physical life on earth depends on the physical sun. But before the physical light and heat of the sun, no life on earth could exist. Every green leaf, every blade of grass, every form of algae, every hair on your head is a minute solar machine. I should have really put that last one there. Let's go back to this. Every green leaf, every blade of grass, every form of algae floating in the sea is a minute solar machine that receives energy from the sun and by its means manufactures from air, water, and minerals food substances upon which all animal creation feeds. But when we speak of the intelligence of the sun, we're speaking of another light seen only internally by the mind, the light of intelligence. And so we're speaking of the ray of creation in an internal sense as a vertical scale of intelligence and being, of increasing excellence as we ascend it. In this respect, the intelligence of the sun is divine in relation to the intelligence of the earth. In the vast evolution of the ray itself, on inconceivable scales of time, the intelligence of the earth may reach the levels of the sun. This is not guaranteed. The earth may die, having attained nothing. In the same way, the moon may or may not reach the intelligence of the earth. We cannot see the sun or earth or moon as beings, as intelligences. One reason is that we see them as cross-sections of themselves, as merely circles in the sky, just as two-dimensional beings whose world was limited to a large sheet of paper would see a man only where he cut their plane, namely as a circle, as a slice of the man, such as we see in a book of anatomy. But from the standpoint of this system, the moon is a growing and developing being, and in time may attain the same level of being as the earth. Then, near it, a new moon will appear, and the earth will become its sun. At one time, the sun was like the earth, and the earth like the moon, and earlier still, the sun was like the moon. The work teaches that the whole universe is evolving, and this means that our ray, with our moon, our earth, planets, and sun, is evolving, as well as all the infinite number of other rays. But parts of our ray may fail at the allotted period of time to have reached the necessary stage of development, and so will be destroyed. As was said, if the evolution of man depends on the evolution of the total ray of creation itself that reaches us, his chances would be remote. But insofar as man is part of organic life and organic life serves the ray, the purposes of the ray, his evolution would be held back at all the processes of the cosmic evolution until all the processes of the cosmic evolution of the moon and earth and of the planets and the sun above us had been fulfilled. But man has other chances, special chances, which are due to the small octave from the sun in which he is created. For man is specially created. In this small octave, he can rise or fall. He can reach the level of the sun or fall to the level of the moon. Fully developed man, that is man number 7, has reached the intelligence of the sun. He's attained his full development and is under only 12 orders of laws. So for him, there is freedom. For all freedom is gained by rising the vertical scale of creation and so passing under fewer laws. And that was the nature of the exercise we had for this last week, is to feel what it feels like psychologically when we put ourselves under fewer laws by relating to something around us. Relate to the moon. Feel how many orders of laws the moon is under. The earth, the planetary bodies, the sun. Now, what's that experience like psychologically? We continue. And at the same time, man number 7 has attained immortality on the scale of the life of the sun. You've heard already many times that there are different levels of man. To speak of man, it's not enough. Which man do you mean? People living on Earth can belong to very different levels. Just as there are very different levels of man, so there are different levels in the universe, regarded as vertical scale of beings or scale of intelligence. The intelligence of the sun is divine to us on Earth. The influences of the sun reaching us through the small octave are of a higher order than are those of the planetary world, which are again higher than those at the level of the earth, or those coming from the moon beneath us. A man can be under the influence of the sun, or under the influences of the planets, or earth, or the moon. And for man, there is a certain possibility of making a choice of the influences In other words, of passing from one influence to another. For example, if a man begins to struggle with negative emotion, he begins to pass out of one of the influences of the moon. If a man remembers himself, he begins to pass first under planetary influences and eventually under the influences of the sun. But he must first learn to make an inner choice. And to do so, he must know a great deal about himself and about different eyes in him and about parts of centers. The influence of the sun reaches higher centers. But when a man lives in mechanical parts of centers, he's under far lower influences. You must understand one thing. It is impossible to become free of one influence without becoming subject to another. That's a powerful sentence there, isn't it? You must understand one thing. It is impossible to become free of one influence without becoming subject to another. All work on oneself consists in choosing the influence to which you want to subject yourself and actually falling under this influence. And here, by long observation, you must know what you want in this respect. Can you see why understanding, conceptually knowing first, but then having experience understanding why the work talks about the importance of being a good householder is so fundamental? Do you remember the fundamentals of being a good householder? We're in this world. We're relating to the world. We're doing our jobs. We're conducting ourselves in society. But something else is going on within us. What is it? We realize we are not of this world. And we are relating in that position, from that positionality, with those possibilities of relating to the sun while we're good householders, conducting ourselves in society. See, to be under the influence of the earth and moon, we're in society and that's all there is. As Tim said one time, man, he's born, he finds things he likes, he finds things he doesn't like, and he dies. What a tragedy. But a good householder realizes that we conduct ourselves in society, but we realize that we are not this. We are of a different nature. And that nature is what we must continue to choose. And that's going to be our exercise for the week, is to choose the sun. Think about the sun. Ask yourself, am I relating to the sun? Am I receiving the vibrations of the sun? Do I feel light like the sun? Do I feel life-giving, creative like the sun? Sun, sun, sun. All week. No more rain. Okay. Let's take up an offering for our church. And as we relate to this part of being householders, we still remember the sun. Let's proclaim our offering prayer together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. as the offering baskets come around, I just want to take a moment to be sure that each of us really take in deeply the payment that you've made, who were here last night and are back here again tonight. It'd be very easy to feel so full. Thank you, Ellen. From last night. And it was extraordinary and will continue to be. To be here again tonight and continue to make payments, you are special, special beings. This is really, I just wanted to witness that with us all together, recognize it, celebrate it, and continue to feed it. Yeah. There's no cheap grace, Bernadette's going to be saying in one of these videos. We have to make payments, and thank you for all the payments you make. It really makes a difference. Together we consecrate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of the moments of each of our lives over the lie that we are separate and are useless, acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, children of the sun, let's have a great week.